It marks the 1 year anniversary when that little nurse wheeled me down out of that hospital room, and her and Michelle put me in a car, oxygen bottle, and spent a week at home, and I got to come in here a week later. It was my first, so actually a week from now, it'll be my first Sunday back in church after that stint in the hospital. And I told the Lord, I'm going to do something for you, Lord, when I get out of there. This year's been up and down. I feel like one of those little puddle jumper airplanes, and you can't hardly get off the ground, you know, with something buzzing and back down, birds hitting the windshield or something. But I'm telling you what, I'm not quitting on Jesus. I'm going on for the grace of God. I tell you what, one of these days, whether it's in this life or every time we're flying out of here, I'm not stopping. He's been too good to me. I tell you what, a long time ago, right after I got saved, maybe a couple of years, I was talking to this little Asian fella. I said, you know, Jesus loves you. He looked back at me and said, huh, why? And I said, I didn't know what to say. You know, I don't know why. I don't know why he loves me.
Amen. We'll try this. We ain't been practicing nothing. We're just going to guess at it. If it ain't right, we'll change it.
Lord in heaven above, why'd you pick me to love? Why you love me, I just can't understand. When I see others more worthy of Jesus than me, if you love me as small as I am.
Amen.
Sometimes it's hard to walk in His footsteps, but when I stumble, He understands. He picks me up, wipes off my sin.
Thank God He does.
Puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me. Small as I am, well, I'm nobody special. I'm no ruler or king. This old world doesn't know who I am. But Jesus walks right beside me. Fights my battles and guides me. Yes, He loves me as small as I am. And sometimes it's hard to walk in His footsteps. When I stumble, He wipes off my sin, puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me.
Amen.
As small as I am.
Amen. Man, that's good. Somebody else got a song here tonight. I mean, you know, it's kind of cold outside and there's still a little snow on the ground, and ain't nobody here but us, the Lord and the devil. And we won't tell nobody if you want to get up and sing, although it's on the internet all over the world. But if you want to stand up and say something. The other night, it was snowing. It was snowing. At 6 o'clock, it was snowing. I came down to work early down here a little while, and I'm telling you, I thought there ain't going to be nobody here tonight, because it really was bad and scary. And Brother Dusty and Miss Kim sang, and they didn't know it, but it was on the camera. So I had the camera on. Time we got home, it was on the World Wide Web. So you're probably getting a lot of calls about that, emails wanting you to book singings and stuff like that. Anybody else want to sing or say something or preach? Turn to Jeremiah chapter number 29.
Jeremiah 29. I'm not going to be long tonight, and I want to bring you a thought. It's been on my heart, and I want to bring it tonight. The Lord will help me if you'll listen carefully this evening. Jeremiah chapter number 29 this evening, and I want to preach on something I believe will help us start getting ready for youth rally. And I'm going to preach in the next few weeks, really starting 2 weeks tonight. Lord willing, we'll begin our 40-day fast for the youth rally. So you be praying about that, looking forward to it. Wouldn't hurt you to fast a little bit between now and then if God lays it on your heart. I believe in prayer and fasting, and I believe the only hope for our churches in America and in the world is prayer and fasting and getting God on our church services. Jeremiah 29, and we'll look at verse number 12 this evening. Here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Praise God for verses like that. I want to preach this evening on reasons for unanswered prayers. Reasons for unanswered prayer. The Bible said in Philippians 4 and verse 6 that we are to let our request be made known unto God. Great men like Martin Luther, the great reformer, the preacher Martin Luther, back in the 1500s, set aside his best 3 hours a day for his prayer time. Men like that, they say that only the footprints on the sands of time that last are made after somebody's knee prints. Any man that's ever made a mark for God on this world had to pray. He knew how to pray, and he did pray. As a matter of fact, the disciples came to the Lord one time. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to preach. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Man learns how to pray, he won't have to learn how to preach. It'll come out of him. It might come out sideways, but it'll come out. You get somewhere with God in the thicket somewhere and pray long enough and hard enough and sincere enough, there'll be some preach come up in you. Now, tonight, I know that God takes care of His church. God is interested in His church. I want to tell you an amazing story, and then I'm going to read you off a few things here, and we'll go this evening. Let me tell you how God takes care of a church. Back in 1950, March the 1st, 1950, that would be 65 years ago tonight, March the 1st, 1950, in Beatrice, Nebraska, the Westside Baptist Church, small little country church, was going to have choir practice. They had choir practice every Saturday evening at 7:30. Listen what took place. There was only 25, 30 people in their little choir. And on that evening, the pastor went to church early that Saturday evening to prepare for the evening choir practice. Most of the choir members usually arrived between 7:15 and 7:30. He said, I'll go home and get me something to eat right quick about 7 o'clock and be back by 7:30 across the road there where he lived. He went home for a quick meal to return with his wife and daughter who were in the choir. It was discovered that his daughter's dress had some mud and dirt on it, and so they had to change her, which made them late getting there. High school sophomore LaDonna had trouble with her geometry problems from school and had to stay home to finish her homework and did not get to come. Usually, she would always be early for choir practice. Two sisters were ready to go at church, but the car would not start. They called the geometry girl to come and pick them up, and she wasn't going, so it knocked all three of them out. Mrs. Schuster had a small daughter, normally would get there at 7:20. But that night, her mother needed her and was sick, So she went by her mother's and therefore made her late. A late operator wanted to stop and stop putting off a letter. She planned on writing a letter to somebody and kept putting it off, And she said, I'm going to get this done before I go tonight, and wrote that letter and made her late. Stenographer Joyce Black, feeling just plain lazy, quote, stayed in the last to the last possible minute. She was ready to go when it happened. Machinist Harry Oil was going to take his two boys to choir practice since his wife was away, but somehow got in a conversation with somebody, and when he looked at his watch, it was already past time and late. The piano player, Marilyn Powell, decided to come 1/2 hour early. But after supper, she fell asleep and barely got there on time after it happened. Choir director and mother of the pianist, Mrs. Paul, was late due to her daughter. She had tried unsuccessfully to wake her up and couldn't get her to wake, so it made them late. Two high school girls usually go together, but one was listening to the 7 to 7:30 radio program, and that evening broke their usual habit of being early for choir practice. At 7:25 p.m., a gas leak would leak in that little church building, and the Westside Baptist Church blew up. The roof crushed in, the walls fell down, and blew the entire building to smithereens. But the choir members were everyone safe. And this had never happened before. God, in His mercy and sovereignty, had taken care of that little choir. You may not think God does things like that, but we've seen it over and over. I've seen it in my own life. How many times have you seen God, you just barely escaped disaster? And that's why it pays to pray. I believe that our youth rally coming up in April will depend largely on the attitude of prayer of our church. And I'm talking about you people sitting right here tonight. Please don't think, well, Brother Danny will pray, Sister so-and-so will pray. We got a lot of people in our church that'll pray. I'll just not worry about it. Don't have that attitude, for heaven's sake. Make sure that you do your share and part of praying. I want to say a few things tonight about the reasons we do not get our prayers answered. And you listen carefully. Number one this evening, we don't get our prayers answered because we pride ourselves in our own personal righteousness. If there's anything God can't stand, it's for us to think more highly of ourselves, or to think we're something, or we're better than other people, or something like that. Over in Luke chapter number 18, there was two men went up to pray. The Bible said one was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. The Bible said that Pharisee, he looked up to God, it got time to pray. And that Pharisee looked up and he said, I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not like other people. I'm glad that I live on a higher plane than other people. All these other people just disgust me. I can't believe that she would do that. I can't believe that he would do that. I cannot believe the pictures they put on Nosebook. I can't believe the way he dresses his daughter. I can't believe, and I'm glad I'm not like them. And you know what the Bible said? The Lord just looked the other way. He did not hear one word that person said. And they might have been right in their judgment, but God can't stand that attitude of thinking that you're better or higher up than us. As a matter of fact, if there's anything in the Bible that makes God sick, it's for us to look down on somebody like we're better than they are. Or listen, let me tell you something, people. You know who? There ain't nobody in here, no better than nobody else. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. I know people, I used to know somebody years ago, and I ain't seen them in years and years, and they had a terrible past. Terrible, wicked, low down. And they got right with God, and suddenly they become judge and jury of everybody else and forgot
all them times God was merciful to them while they was out there living like the devil. And you better remember that before you start condemning somebody else. That's another sermon, but that keeps your prayers from being answered if you got a self-righteous attitude. It sure does. I mean, when you kneel down, you get down like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, and I ain't no good, and I ought to be in hell right now. God, have mercy on me. You'll get somewhere when you get that kind of attitude right there. I want to say tonight, I asked this horse one time. This guy said he had a talking horse. And he said, this horse can answer any question. And they said, all right. They said, how many commandments are they? And he took that right paw and went, 1, 2, 3, 4. Went all the way, 10 commandments. They were amazed. They said, all right, let me ask you this, horse. How many apostles were they? And the horse took his left paw. 1, 2, 3. Knocked out 12 apostles. They said, I can't believe that. That beats anything ever. How does he know that? And the fellow turned and said, all right, how many hypocrites is in this church? And that horse went on all four, just all over. Just all over the floor. Although, he knew it probably. Amen. That's right. And you know what? We're a hypocrite when we think that we're something special or we're better, we know better than nobody else. I mean, that's what Mom used to say, who the Sam Hill you think you are? I mean, I ain't nothing, you ain't nothing, nobody in here is nothing except sinners saved by the grace of God. And I'm glad God's grace does save all sinners. For me and you be in trouble, amen? That's right, brother. You ain't nothing special. I mean, Lord, we're so skinny spiritually. Spiritual anorexics in here, brother. I mean, like that one fellow, they said, he's so skinny, he ain't got but one stripe on his pajama. You ever heard that? That's the way some of us are spiritually tonight. One fellow said he's so skinny, he had to run around in the shower to get wet. I don't know about that, but I've seen something like that. One guy said she was so skinny, when she could run through a heart and not make a sound. Without making a sound. That's bad. That's the way some of us are spiritually tonight. Prove it and pride in yourself in your own self-righteousness. But I'll say secondly tonight, let me move on quickly this evening. You know how you don't get your prayers answered? We're going to be doing a lot of praying here. We'll have all-night prayer meetings, Saturday night prayer meetings, Sunday evening prayer meetings for the youth rally. I don't want it to be wasted. What else stops you from getting your prayers answered? I tell you what it is, refusing to obey God's word or hear God's word. Amen. Refusing to hear God's word. Let me give you Proverbs 28 and verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. That means if I turn my ear away from the Bible, when somebody quotes it or preaches it to me, my prayer is an abomination to God. That means when your wife, your husband, your preacher, your Sunday school teacher says, the Bible says, and you say, nope, I don't want to hear that, your prayer don't get past that ceiling right there. Let me tell you, I may not like everything the Bible says, I may not always live everything the Bible says, but if you tell me it's in the Bible, I'm going to say, alright, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to get it straight with that book right there. You can't turn your ear away from this book and expect your prayers to be answered. That's right. Amen. Do you want to hear preaching? Do you want to read the Bible? I heard a man say one time, we was talking about something up in Marion, and this guy was a preacher. And we got into it over something. Some of the young preachers arguing over this. One of them believed this. One of them believed that. One of them believed this. And they got mad. I thought someone was going to get in a fight. No kidding. Every time we'd come to church, there'd be a little group over here, and there's fussing, pointing at the Bible. Well, this one. No, it ain't. You don't know. And I mean, just, it was bad. It wasn't none of them right with God because their heart wasn't right. And they talked to that boy one time, and I got on the phone and I said, well, brother, you know, the Bible said, and he said, I don't care what the Bible says. He's a preacher. I don't care what the Bible says. When you get to that point right there, your prayers ain't going no higher than them sealed texts right there. Listen, you better care what the Bible says. You better care if it condemns you. You know, that's what people say. Well, I know what I believe. I don't care what the Bible says. That's wrong, Eddie. You ain't going to get nothing like that. I mean, I know what I've always been taught. It don't matter what the Bible says. You don't adjust the Bible to fit your belief. You adjust your belief to fit the Bible. I'm telling you, I've always tried to be there. And if you'll show me something I believe that's wrong and show me in the Bible, I want to be a man enough to change my belief to fit the Bible and not say, well, I never. I had a preacher tell me one time, we were talking about the divorce issue and all that kind of stuff. He told me, he said, Danny, I know you're right. He said, I know you're right. He said, I've studied. I know you guys are right. But he said, Lord, everybody in my church believes the other way. He said, if I preach it in time, my church all preaches. And I said, well, brother, it's nothing personal, but I don't believe that I can pastor a church and not preach what I believe. Listen, y'all, if you hear me long enough, you're going to find out what I believe. It's coming out. It's coming out. I can't help it. I cannot stand up here and believe something and not preach it. Say amen right there. Amen. Deliberately not hearing the Word of God. I'm telling you, brother, movie stars are notorious for this. And Hollywood people and athletes and stuff. So they, well, the Bible said, well, I know the Bible said this, but me and Jesus, we got our own little deal worked out, you know. Remember the old song, me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. Me and Jesus, we got it all worked out. Some of you old people remember that? And I remember hearing that when I was young and I heard that song. I started preaching and I said, you and Jesus ain't got it all worked out. You and Jesus ain't got your own thing going. Remember the old song, how many of y'all remember the old song, Harper Valley PTA? Remember that? Who remembers the old song, Harper? Remember that? I can't remember that song. Lord, it's been 100 years since I heard that. And that old girl got on there and she'd sing, everybody in Harper Valley is a hypocrite or something like that. I forgot how it went. She said, everybody in Harper Valley, and she said, me and this and me and that and we're this and but me and the good Lord gonna have us a good talk later tonight. And all them old songs like that, I got news for you. You and the good Lord ain't gonna have you a good talk later tonight when you are deliberately rejecting what the Bible says. Amen? Right, I said, I had a woman tell me one time, she was shacking up, living this guy. And she said, I was so lonely and the Lord sent me here. I said, I tell you this, but the Lord did not send you somebody to shack up with. Amen. Are you crazy? That's like saying, I felt bad and the Lord sent me this bottle of liquor. No, He didn't. God didn't send you no bottle of liquor. Are you crazy? You'll never get your prayers answered twisting it up like that and saying, God, listen, you can't get your prayers answered ignoring the Bible. Number three. Right on. Amen. Like that one little old boy. His family's all messed up, and he come home to church. He said, Mama, what? She said, what's wrong, son? He said, the preacher come over and laid his hand on me and said, Lord, help this young man to have a good Christian home. And I said, heck, I want to stay with you guys. Hey, that's awful, isn't it? But I will tell you this evening, I will say thirdly tonight, regarding iniquity in your heart. If we're going to pray and get God in the youth rally, we can't regard iniquity in our heart. Psalm 66:18 said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That means if I deliberately live contrary to the Lord, I can't stay drunk and say, Lord, bless me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, I can't go every day and steal from my employer and cheat the man I work for and say, Lord, bless thee. He said, if you regard. Now, I know we're not perfect. I know everybody sins. I know that. But I'm talking about deliberate. You know good and well when you are deliberately living wrong. You know it. And brother, if you are, God ain't going to hear that prayer. It don't work like that. Bible said He heareth us because we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. I'm telling you something, brother. People get their minds all screwed up, all messed up, and all twisted around where they got this weird view of God. No other view of God but a Bible view will work and get your prayers answered. Amen. Like that one guy said, he said, me and my wife had religious differences. She worshiped money and I never had any. That's the way to do. Amen. All right, number four. Let me say quickly tonight. I'll be through here in just a minute. Number four, I want to say also, what causes you not to get your prayers answered is offering an unworthy sacrifice to God. Bible said in Malachi 1 and verse 7, we offer polluted bread upon the altar. We offer polluted bread upon the altar. Amen? That's right. I'm telling you something. We ought to offer God our best. We ought to give Him our best. We ought to give Him our best time. We ought to give Him our best everything. That's why our tithes, when we give our tithes come right off the top. Man told me one time, he said, now explain this to me, Danny. He said, you're supposed to give 10%, right? I said, that's right. He said, now does that mean you're supposed to pay all your bills and buy all your groceries and then give 10% of what's left? I said, no, that ain't what that means. You don't give God leftovers. You give God the first fruits right off of the top. Amen? If you're like most people, there ain't nothing left after you pay everything. You don't even get it all paid. And I said, you get it off the top. You know what God wants? He wants your best. He wants first place. He don't want scraps. He don't want leftovers. He don't want rags. He wants our best. Give our best to the Master. You know what? A dog. You know what you give leftovers to? A dog. Amen. We had leftovers a little bit the other day, and Marley's hanging around outside. Marley, my nephew's dog, hangs around the house. And we'll take all the leftovers, scrape it off in a plate. We don't say, all right, here's my meal. Miss Kelly don't do that. But she picked chili beans the other day when it snowed, and I'm telling you, that was good. And we had cornbread muffins and chili beans and everything. If she'd have said, all right, the dogs ate it, the deer hang out behind the house, they got their share of it and everything, but here's a little bit left, Brother Danny. I said, that's all right, I'll go to Wendy's and get me some of them. And listen, how do you think God feels when we lay around all day, read every magazine in the world, stay on the computer 3 hours, and then read 3 verses of Scripture, if that much, and then say, Lord, bless me tonight. God don't want the leftovers. He wants first place. He wants our best. He wants our best, brother. He wants our best, and not just talk. He wants us to give our best. I challenge everybody in here, set you aside a prayer time. Come on, ladies. Come on, men. Set you aside a prayer time. Leave that ball game off or that TV off once in a while and get in a prayer closet and say, oh, Lord, give that good time to God and pray and see if God don't give us a great youth rally. We need it. Wouldn't you agree? Like a man said one time, preacher got up in church and he said, how many of you ladies love little babies? And all the women raised their hands and said, all right, are you willing to work in the nursery? They ain't willing to do that. They just love little babies. Yeah, whatever. That's what I got and said, how many loves the Lord? Everybody raised their hand. All right, how many is willing to sacrifice and fast today? And look, give Him your best. Number five. You know how you don't get your prayers answered? Is asking amiss. Bible said in James 4 and verse 3, we ask amiss. What does that mean? What does it mean to ask amiss? Well, we're off base in our asking. Sometimes, if you're like me, we don't even know what to pray for. Sometimes I don't even know what I need or what ought to be done. And when that time comes, you just say, God, whatever needs to be done in my life, you do it. Whatever needs to be done in my family, you do it. Whatever needs to be done for my wife or my kids, you do it. Sometimes you don't even know what to say. So you just get down and say, you're like that little girl. They said that little girl, man, heard her pray one time, and she is in her room and she's down on her knees. She is saying, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. He said, honey, what are you doing? She said, I'm praying. And he said, well, I don't believe I've ever heard nobody pray like that. A, B, C, D, E, F. And she said, I don't really even know what to ask for, so I just put all the alphabet up there and I tell God to do whatever He thinks with it. That's right attitude to pray. That's a good attitude to pray. Instead of saying, all right, Lord, you need to do this, we need to do it. Sometimes we need better just say A, B, C, D, E, Lord. You fill it in however you want to fill it in. I'll give the blank check, Lord. You fill it in. Whatever you want to do, I'll do it. God, give me wisdom. You'd be surprised. Y'all would be surprised if you saw the time. I've been credited a lot of times for making smart decisions and dumb decisions. And anybody that makes smart decisions makes dumb decisions. Read your Bible. And uh, uh, I've you take a risk. Take a risk. Step out on a limb. And somebody said, how in the world did you know that, Brother Danny? I said, and here's what I've done. There's been times when I said, God, I don't know. God, I don't know if I'm right. God, I don't know if I'm wrong. But God, I'm trusting you. Help me, Lord. And stepped out. Sometimes that's what you're going to do. God don't always write it in the sky what you're supposed to do. You just got to step out, take a chance, and say, God, by your grace, my heart's right, so you help me, and I promise you tonight, if your heart's right, God will help you. Number six. The way to not get your prayers answered is by praying with a selfish motive. Praying with a selfish motive. Same verse, James 4 and verse 3. You have not asked and received not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. When you pray, you don't supposed to pray finagling it around so it'll all come out to benefit you. You pray, God, your will be done. God, help my family. It's like, ain't you glad God don't always do everything you ask Him to? Billy Graham's wife was Ruth Graham. And I met Ruth Graham, I think twice, but I saw her twice. I met her once at the Pizza Hut in Black Mountain. They lived over there in Montreat, you know. And not long after I saved, me and some boys over there stopped at Pizza Hut in Black Mountain. We was going to Asheville. And I told him more. I said, I think that's Billy Graham's wife sitting over there. And they said, really? And because my mom just thought there was nobody like her. Mom, she read her books. She followed her. And she was a great, great woman. There's no doubt about it. And I never a great man. There's a great woman is what they say. And I went over there and I said, you're Mrs. Graham, right? She said, yes, I am. And you know what I done? I was 19 or 20, and I gave her my testimony. I told Billy Graham's wife how I got saved. Boy, I thought that was something else. And I told her who I was, she didn't have time to fool with us. But she looked and she said, that's so wonderful. I'm proud of you boys. And she was very nice and everything. And you know what Ruth Graham said? Here's what she said, very honest. She said this. She said, God don't always answer our prayers. She said, if He did, I would have married the wrong man several times. That's what she said. She said, if God always answered prayers, I'd have married the wrong one I don't know how many times. Sometimes we say, Lord, I would just say, because we want something. We want it to happen. We want it to be ours. We want that house, that car, that job, that husband, that wife. Listen, you better make sure you don't have a selfish motive. It's all right to ask God for whatever you want to ask Him for. But you better say, Your will be done. Because I don't even know what I need. Amen? I don't even know what I need. They said years ago, this woman, she's going down the road praying for a boy. Lord help him, Lord help him. And passed the car wash where he works. She knew she's passing. So she said, Lord, please take care of him. God bless my boy. Please bless my boy. Please bless my boy. And he come home that evening. He said, Mom, you're never going to believe what happened. He said, at 2 o'clock, something like that today, he said, there's a man come in to rob me. She said, I come by at 2 o'clock. I was praying for you. He said, when you went by, there's a man had a gun to my head. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, he looked past me like he'd seen something and turned around and took off running out of the building. And he said, I don't know what he's seen. But I said, oh, Mama went by and said, God, please protect my boy. God, please get a hold of him. Watch over him. And God scared the devil out of that guy. I don't know if he saw an angel with a sword drawn. I don't know what he saw. But he turned around and left. Now, you say, I don't believe that. You know what? I said, every mama ought to take that, for example, and pray that for your kids. When they go to school, when they go out there in the world, when you go on vacation, you better pray, God, you can put a hedge around them, build a hedge around my children. There's thousands of them gets abducted. There's thousands of them gets molested. There's thousands. The devil, he'll put the wrong kind of music in their ear. He'll put the wrong kind of philosophy in their head. That's why you got to watch who you let them hang around with, where they go, and especially what they watch and what they listen to. Pray God will keep a hedge around your kids. That's one thing we do at the youth rally. And then, number seven and last. One way you don't get your prayers answered is wavering at God's promise. James chapter 1 and verse number 6 and 7. He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the wind, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I'll tell you a story too, and I'm through tonight. And I want us to pray. I want us to really get down to business and pray. I'm going to have Miss Tessie come in just a little bit. All right. Let me tell you what John Wesley did. John Wesley said, ask yourself these questions. Here's where you know you're living right. Ask yourself these questions. You don't find this in these Christian TV shows today. Number one, am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I'm better than I really am around people? In other words, are you a hypocrite? Number two, am I honest in all my acts and words, or do I exaggerate? Number three, do I confidentially pass on to another what was told to me in confidence? You know, somebody say, tell you something in confidence, say, listen, I'll tell you something, but you can't tell nobody. Number four, can I be trusted? Number five, am I a slave to dress, friends, work, or habits? Number six, am I self-conscious, self-pitying, or self-justifying? You sit around and feel sorry for yourself and poor little you and how everybody's so wonderful and you, everybody's mean to you and you're pitiful, you know, that kind of baloney like that. Number seven, did the Bible live in me today? Was there a verse of Scripture that really got a hold of you today and it was real to you? Number eight, do I give it time to speak to me every day, the Bible? Number nine, am I enjoying prayer? Number ten, when did I last speak to a sinner about my faith? When's the last time you talked to a lost person? Number 11, do I pray about the money I spend? Or you just go blow it wherever you want to? Number 12, do I go to bed on time and get up on time? Or you stay up, your kids stay up all half a night on Friday and can't drag out of bed. You know, that's why you can't pay attention in church. You stay up all night Friday night, sleep all day Saturday, and all night Saturday night, sleep all day on Sunday. That's why you ain't no count. Number 13, do I disobey God in anything? Number 14, do I insist upon doing something about which my conscience is uneasy? You make yourself go ahead and do something about your conscience is bothering you. Number 15, am I defeated in any part of my life? Number 16, am I jealous, impure, critical, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? Lord, it's quiet in here. Am I impure, critical, irritable, touchy? Lord have mercy. I know people, you feel like you have to tip. Don't say nothing around there. You say a word, they'll knock your head off. Number 18, am I proud? Number 17, I'm sorry, how do I spend my spare time? Number 19, do I thank God that I am not as other people, like the Pharisee who despised the publican? Number 20, is there anyone whom I fear, dislike, disown, criticize, hold resentment toward, or disregard? If so, what am I doing about it? Number 21, do I grumble and complain? 22, is Jesus real to me? If you fail that test, I would strongly advise you to get a prayer life, a strong prayer life. She's coming. Come on the piano. And I'm going to ask you a question this evening. Somebody said this. Last night I took a journey to a land across the seas. I did not go by boat or plane. I traveled on my knees. I saw so many people there in the deepest depths of sin. Jesus told me I should go. There were souls to win. And I said, Jesus, I can't go and work with such as these. He answered quickly, yes, you can, by traveling on your knees. He said, you pray, I'll meet the need. You call, I'll hear. Be concerned about lost souls of those far and near. So I tried it. I knelt in prayer and gave up some hours of ease. I felt the Lord right by my side while traveling on my knees. As I prayed on and saw souls saved and twisted bodies healed and saw the workers' strength renewed while laboring in the field, I said, yes, Lord, I have a job. My desire, thy will to please. I can go and heed the call by traveling on my knees. You know what? I believe that we can see people get saved at the youth rally. Young men called to preach. People get off drugs. People stay out of hell, y'all. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I don't know about you, but I'm going to rededicate my life right there in that chair this evening. And I'm going to say, Lord, forgive me. I get busy. You get so busy, you got to do this, do that, and you don't pray like you should. I want to rededicate my life tonight and say, Lord, I want to pray. Spend some time in prayer this week and in the next few weeks. You watch God. Is there anybody here that don't need it? Anybody here? Your kid's perfect, no problems, no burden? Oh, Lord, no. If you are, I know some people in here you can sure pray for. The rest of us. So let's do business with God here this evening. You can come on, meet me here in the altar. This invitation won't have no singing. Amen. Let's pray tonight.